Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It is the Pat Miller Program here on this Tuesday. So, as is our normal schedule, the 5 o'clock hour on Tuesday, he should be there. By golly, there he is from the nation's capital. It's the White House correspondent for Real Clear Politics, Philip Wegman. Philip, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pat.
So my understanding is you're on a you're kind of on a saunter, a quick jog, a bit of a walk from the Capitol back to your confines?
I am, and this is probably one of the bigger mistakes that I've made in a while because it is miserably hot. Washington, D.C. is really the mouth of a dog right now, and I am regretting this decision with every step I take.
You know, I will tell you this, from the last time I was there, which would have been year before last, for the Hold Their Feet to the Fire for Federation of American Immigration Reform, they're not real far from the Capitol at the Phoenix Park Hotel, which is a beautiful place, by the way. In fact, you and I got to do dinner there again. But even in September, and the last time I was there, I think it was the second week of September, the mugginess in the nation's capital can just be overbearing. In fact, it was so bad, Jim Banks invited me to come to the Capitol so that they could show me around. And then I literally called an Uber to drive me 4 blocks to get from the Capitol back to my hotel because it was just overbearing.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. And so it's like the sort of the mugginess is not that different than Indiana, but the big difference is like it's since we're in the city, there's no way that you can get a good breeze going.
Yeah, there's no escape. There's no escape. And those big, tall buildings and everything, and the limestone everywhere, it just does nothing but just pull it all in. So things going on right now in and around the Capitol, some of them you and I had texted back and forth, and some of them we had not always had the chance to talk about everything at that time when we were online. But a couple of things. The Republicans now are experiencing a bit of what some are calling vaccination hesitancy. What's going on?
Yeah, so I spoke with Representative Chip Roy from Texas, who is a good avatar for this disposition. And his message when he heard the Biden administration was willing to go door to door, sending, you know, volunteers and faith leaders and other folks to encourage people to take the vaccine. His message was back the F off. Now he's a pretty temperate guy. He's pretty conservative, but that's quite the reaction. And I think the reason why is people who haven't gotten the vaccine yet, they haven't gotten it. It's not that they don't know that it's out there.
Yep.
It's not that they haven't seen commercials every night on TV to
yep.
go get it. It's that they don't want to.
Yeah. And my position, I think, is a lot like yours. I think it needs to be out there. I think it needs to be available. For me, it was obviously the very right thing to do. But that's for me. That's not for me to say that no. Everybody else that doesn't get it, you know, they're an idiot. They're not a good conservative. They're not a Republican. And I've heard it all. That's just idiocy.
Yeah. And so we're at a point here where, there are Republicans who are defending that part of the public who is sort of incalcitrant, who says, you know, this is not for me right now, by saying a couple things. First, you know, there's you know, a risk of heart inflammation for, you know, some younger men who end up taking the vaccine. Second, there's a large portion of the public that likely has developed their own antibodies because they had COVID and then they recovered. And third, the Republican position kind of boils down to, hey, we're about freedom. We're going to encourage people to get the vaccine, but it's up to them to get it. And at this point, you know, the more conservative members are telling the Biden administration just to let good enough alone.
Don't you think that the people in our country, and I'm talking really everywhere, regardless of race or creed, regardless of whether you live in the middle of D.C. and New York or if you're out in Woodburn, Indiana, or even further out in the remoteness, don't you imagine the numbers of people that don't realize the vaccine is available for them is only about 3 to 5%?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, if you haven't been watching television for the last year and a half, or you haven't been, you know, online, it's probably pretty unlikely that you haven't heard about this thing. And look, the Biden administration, you know, they have resisted vaccine passports. They have resisted making it mandatory for the military. They have told government agencies not to require their employees to take it. They have been all about the persuasion route. But at the same time, you have a number of liberals and progressives who are saying, look, I'm fed up with this. It's irresponsible. And, namely Kathleen Sebelius, who was the HHS director under right. Obama, is saying, like, enough is enough. We need to start leaning on businesses and universities to tell people to take this vaccine.
Don't you feel, though, that it's a little overbearing when the president of the United States starts saying, hey, look, if we need to start going door to door, we will. I'm sorry. That feels a little more like troopers to me.
Yeah. And I think that if Biden could, he would take that phrase back. But he's the president of the United States. And what did we say about the last guy? We said that the last guy needed to recognize that his words were tantamount to
yep.
actions
yep.
when you were the leader of the free world.
Yep.
So does this president.
Okay, well, let's talk about something which is not on our list for you and I to talk about, but it's just something that I came across again. I thought, who better could I unload on this than you? So, so welcome to it. Mayor Lightfoot of Chicago, just a little over a year ago, she is calling President Trump at the time everything except an illegitimate stepchild when he wanted to send troops to help her navigate getting control of her city. And she's like, you send those troops in and I'll send them right back out. How dare you? And blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. Now that Biden is doing it, she's practically begging him to send her troops. Is this really nothing more than just not what is being done, but the party that's doing it? I mean, are we that small?
I mean, I think there is a bit of hypocrisy here on its face. She says no to federal support under the previous administration, says yes to federal support under the current one. So there's a bit of hypocrisy. I do think that perhaps the mayor might be saying to herself, well, the directives of the soldiers will be different under President Biden, and maybe it'll lead to a different outcome. But even that might be too generous. We're dealing with politicians here. Clearly, this is something that doesn't have as much of a political risk to a Democrat inviting a Democratic administration to help them than a Democrat reaching out to a Republican administration.
You know, now that it's been 2 weeks ago that we sent Caleb Blakeslee down to McAllen, Texas, am I right in saying as that I look back over the course of everything that happened that week that Caleb Blakeslee went to the border and the vice president of the United States just went to Southwest Texas?
Well, the vice president did end up going to a border crossing station, a port of entry. But still, what changed? The administration has not changed their stance on immigration. The vice president, continues to be on this mission to get to the root causes of immigration. That doesn't seem to be yielding results anytime soon. But, look, Biden, he sent an executive order to stop construction of the border wall. He ended the Remain in Mexico policy. There is a mismatch between his words and his actions. He says, do not cross the border, and then his administration makes it easier to do so. I think at this point, the Biden White House is just saying to itself, look, the actions on the southern border are popular for our base. We're probably going to take our licks for it in the midterms, but we're not changing.
What do you make of this, that the president of the United States now, who talked about defunding the police and don't defund them, now he's talking about cities can actually use COVID money to rehire police? I mean,
I've been in conversations with White House aides about this. Look, Biden, to his credit, he never bought into the more progressive messaging from others about defunding the police. Certainly the vice president, she was in fan of letting cities and states reprogram their own funding away from, police and towards, community mediators. He didn't go all in on that progressive wish. But the argument that it is the other side, that it is Republicans who are, in fact, defunding the police, that's semantics and it's ridiculous. The argument is that because Republicans didn't vote for the American Rescue Plan, which was a big bucket of money, and that, you know, some of that money would have gone to police means that they oppose funding the police is ridiculous, and it requires you to sit in a silo and not see, you know, what happened for the last year and a half, as some cities did, in fact, move funding away from police, and they're living with the consequences now.
And some of them now are begging to try to find new ways of replacing those holes that they left. Let me ask you this as I let you go. We've got about a minute to go. We're talking to Philip Wegman from Real Clear Politics. You still are in the White House press room at times, correct?
That's right.
Now, do they allow you now to have you and Peter Ducey in the room at the same time, or does Jen Psaki still get the two of you confused and they can't afford that? I know they don't want you both in a room when the president's there, because he couldn't tell either of you apart from his dead son.
Well, Peter Ducey sits in the front row, and the Biden folks got to know him very well on the campaign trail. My seat is in the fourth row. It's basically a situation like this. The administration cannot get away from dealing with Fox News on a daily basis. I'm in there, and I probably get a question, you know, once every other week, because, you know, there are 49 other reporters in that room. And, you know, the press secretary, it's her prerogative who she decides to call on.
Yeah. Well, and whether or not she's going to circle back, because if she circles back, she might accidentally circle back to you. So that's something you can always hang on to. I was going to do a montage of her doing circle back, you know, back like in the first 2 months of her time there in the press room. But when I did it, I was up to 45 minutes of circle back, and I thought, okay, that's half a program. I can't do that.
There you go.
Well, listen, Peter, Ducey, I was determined to do that today on purpose. Phillip, it's been very good to have you. Always appreciate the great work that you do. And you need to catch his stuff online. You need to catch the writings there for Real Clear Politics. And it's easy to find. Just go to his interview with me today here on the Pat Miller Program page. John will give you a link to get to Real Clear Politics. Check out what he writes. You've got like two or three things that drop every week in there, and it's all good stuff. We're only able to copy some of it here on the air. But as always, Philip, thank you so very, very much, sir. I appreciate you.
Hey, thank you, Pat.
Podcasts by Federated Media.